Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Now, our ministry will show you how to reduce and eliminate all of your debt. You heard me, eliminate all of your debt. Now, there's no secret to what we do. Everything we'll teach you is included in the Bible. The class is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way, and you can learn more by going to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, browse around, you'll see it, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Joining in on the discussion today are the co-founders of the ministry, John and Evelyn Bean. And today, we want to take a dive into the money mistakes individuals who are classified as middle class are making. But John, before we get into the details, let's talk a little bit and define who are classified as middle class.
Well, I looked it up. According to a Pew Research study that was done in 2014, that's the most recent information I could find, there's an upper class that earns income greater than $125,000. That's about 20% of the population. There's the middle class, which earns between $42,000 and $125,000. And there's about 51% of us in that range. And then there's the people who earn less than $42,000, that's considered lower class, and there's almost 29% in that category. And of that 29%, you've got poverty. The poverty level for a family of four is $24,600 a year, and 14.5% of the people live at or below the poverty level.
So our sweet spot as far as the ministry goes is kind of that middle class, where we would consider people in what kind of jobs in the middle class?
Well, you're talking about teachers, firefighters, plumbers. You know, then there's those are the typical people you would think of just right off the top of your head. But then there's people that we might not think about, like engineers and construction managers and maybe chefs and stuff like that.
So the middle class is kind of the bulk of the people that support society, that do the normal type day-to-day jobs that we run into on our daily travels around our communities.
They provide the bulk of these services, and the middle class consumes the majority of these services also. It depends on which level of the middle class you're in.
Yeah, that's a huge, between 42 and 125,000.
Well,
income is a huge swing.
You know, it goes from 42, 125 is almost triple.
So that's a big swing between those two.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge number. So people at the lower end, they could be really struggling to make ends meet. They have little or no savings. And probably they're not taking too many vacations.
So what does the upper end look like?
They probably have a budget. Although, just because they're earning a lot of money is no guarantee they got a budget.
Yeah, a lot of income doesn't mean you're necessarily managing it well.
Exactly.
Especially based on our experience.
Yes.
Sometimes the people with the lower incomes are managing it
much better
because they need to be careful.
Yes, absolutely. They probably have a little bit of savings, but not enough, and they probably can take some sort of vacation.
So with all of that said, even if you're at the low end or the high end, there's still things you can do to make your life better financially, correct?
You can always make your life better financially.
So what's the first thing?
We harp on this and and I think it's like a broken record, but debt.
Want them to avoid debt.
Debt is the biggest issue that everybody has that everybody needs to work on. How much debt should a consumer have?
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say zero.
Zero. That sounds pretty harsh, I'm sure. But you shouldn't have any debt.
But does that include everything?
Well, I say everything except maybe the mortgage.
Because it's hard to buy a house with cash.
It's pretty hard to buy a house, okay?
Yeah.
And I'll give you that part. But the rest of it, you shouldn't have it.
You know, interestingly, one of the debts people often have are car loans. And we had an email this morning from one of our volunteers whose daughter is turning 16 in a few months. And this 15-year-old child saved up enough money to buy a used car and pay cash.
Isn't that remarkable?
Just from babysitting money. So if a 15-year-old can do it, certainly 30 and 40-year-olds can do it.
That's like a full-time job, earning that much money.
I'm not sure it was a real good car, but it's still transportation. She did it herself. She learned the lesson. She applied it.
Yes.
So that's a really good example.
Well, that's the epitome of what we hope to happen. If everybody could save and not pay credit for whatever it is that they're purchasing. 65% of credit card holders carry a monthly balance.
And what's the, I mean, the average interest rate is huge. It's like between what, 15 and 21%
well,
or something?
The average rate is 15% today. That's assuming you've got pretty good credit and you're making payments regularly. If you've missed some payments, you're irregular in your payments, whatever, you're probably paying 20 to 30% interest. Boom, they'll hike that rate up faster than you can turn your head.
If you don't pay it on time and
yes,
if you get behind.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So in order to get out of that, people really need to add that interest rate they're paying into the price of whatever they're buying. So if they're buying something for, let's say, $100 and their interest rate is $121 and they're going to keep that on their credit card and not pay it off, then really that $100 item is costing them $121.
I don't know. I think the way you just explained it, it came up in my mind $221. But yeah, it did. But the point is that it's a tax. The interest rate is a tax, and that's what you're trying to explain. And, you know, you hit us really with a huge sledgehammer the way you phrased it. But we should get hit with a huge sledgehammer because it's a huge amount of money that we're wasting every single month that we carry a balance. You don't derive any single benefit from carrying credit card debt.
So what about an emergency fund? That's one thing we recommend, and this is where a lot of people make mistakes by not having an emergency fund.
Well, it's probably one of the biggest mistakes people can make. There's a couple others, I guess. What would happen if you were suddenly hit with a $500 unexpected bill? Most people wouldn't be able to cover it. If you're one of those most people, you're not by yourself. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans don't have enough savings to cover a $500 or $1,000 unplanned expense, according to a recent report from Bankrate.com. Only 41% of adults reported having enough savings, whether it be emergency fund or otherwise, to cover that kind of a debt. About 20%, maybe a little bit more, said, well, I'll just put it on my credit card. The other 20% said, well, I'll just cut my spending. And 11% said, oh, I'm going to turn to friends and family. I'm going to take the easy way out.
Well, that 20% that's going to cut spending really needs to think about cutting the spending before that happens.
Yes.
To build up the emergency fund, because if they're able to cut their spending to cover that, the event already happened, so they're still in debt.
Yes.
Because they had to pay for it.
Yeah, that's an after the fact.
Yeah.
Reactive, not proactive response. You know, and we teach Bible studies and we counsel people on their budgets and we help them to find ways to pay off their debt. And we see these kinds of situations. And I think it's a persistent American problem. We've been brought up to assume that debt's okay.
Well, sure. We can get everything we want if we use debt, right?
How do you feel about that, Steve?
No, I agree with you because the people that we work with, when they write down what their spending has been, most of the people, when you ask, okay, what would you cut? They have an idea. It's just they're not cutting.
They're not doing it.
No, before they need new tires for the car.
Yeah.
You know, they think about it after the fact.
Well, and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, we just had an experience 2 weeks ago. Evelyn's car started leaking fluid. 2009, so it's an 8-year-old car. It's paid for. It was paid for from the get-go because we bought it used. And it's only got, what, 30,000 miles?
Yeah, about that.
Still, things happen. And the bill for that leaking fluid It was $1,300.
Wow.
Apparently, they had to drop the engine out to get to the part that needed to be fixed. And this isn't an expensive car, so I'm not sure. I don't know.
They all throw the, I got to drop the engine.
Hey, it came back washed, you know.
So you had a $1,300 car.
That's what I look at it like, yeah.
But no, back to your point and the statistics you were giving, it just blows my mind that that many people cannot take care of a $500 or $1,000 unexpected bill.
So we're really dissing everybody here. But you know what? There is some good news. Last year, there was only 37% of Americans that didn't have enough money. So the number is going down. People are starting to hear what we're saying. They're listening to us. They're saving, creating an emergency fund. And you know what? The funny thing it is, or maybe it's a sad thing, or it's a great, I don't know how to look at it, but millennials were the most financially prepared to handle the monetary headwinds. And I think that's just great because they're learning, they're seeing what we're doing. And, that's a huge increase from what it's been in the past. And I think that's great.
Today, we are discussing a few of the money mistakes that the middle class are making. And John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministry, are with me today. Now, the purpose of our ministry is to help you reduce and then eliminate your debt. And the nice part about this, we are going to show you how you can maintain a debt-free life. I know it sounds like, wow, that's going to be very hard. And it's going to create some work on your part. But believe me, it is attainable. Go to compasscatholic.org. There's more information available there for you to take a look at. Now, in the last 15 minutes that we have together, we want to share some solutions to those money mistakes that we discussed in the first 15 minutes. But Evelyn, you threw out a term, cash cushion, right before we took this little break. Can you explain, and how do you get this cash cushion?
So creating a cash cushion or an emergency fund can seem like an unrealistic task for a lot of people, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck. But once you start tracking your spending, you can usually find some wiggle room in your budget where you can cut back. Some places that you may want to think about is if you get some kind of a daily fancy coffee or stop and get donuts or bagels or a breakfast sandwich every morning. That's a huge waste of money when you add it up over a week, a month, a year. When you go out to eat, don't order drinks, drink water. If you can afford vacations, maybe cut back on your spending for vacations. Sports and activities for kids are really, really expensive, especially the younger children. I mean, if you're spending a couple hundred dollars for a four-year-old to play football, is that really the best use of your money if you're also spending $400 a month in interest charges? You really want to look and be very discerning about where you're spending your money and evaluating wants versus needs to see where you can cut that spending and build an emergency fund.
A lot of mistakes can be avoided if you just stop, think, and evaluate. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty." If you've taken some creative or extreme steps to bulk up your savings, send us a note and tell us about it. Let us know, because you could be an inspiration to others. And your innovative steps might give others some ideas that they can use in their own lives to save money. We would really love to hear from you.
So they should use the contact form on compasscatholic.org. There's a contact form, and just send us an email. We'd love to hear from you, like John said.
Absolutely.
You know, another mistake a lot of people make is not taking advantage of their retirement fund. Do you remember the first time we contributed to our retirement fund?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes.
What do you remember about it?
It was in 1973, and the first payment we made was about $25, I think.
That was a lot based on our salary back then.
Yeah. Steve, do you remember the first amount of money that you ever contributed to a retirement plan?
Yeah, it would have been 1982, because the companies I worked for before didn't have a retirement plan. Uh-huh. We were on our own, you know, putting in
did
an IRA.
Did you do an IRA or something?
Oh, yeah. We did an IRA.
Oh, so
that
was...
I had my first job. In fact, you know, what's funny, I was just looking at the Social Security statement, and they give you a whole history of how much you made.
Yeah.
My first year of working, this would have been 1974, made a whopping 90 $9,300 or $9,800.
Yeah, that's about where we were.
I was like, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we weren't that high.
And I wasn't living in a car.
We weren't that high because when, you know, when I worked, the first job I had was with a nonprofit. Although they did give us a house, so that was a added benefit that they didn't charge us for and didn't show up in our income. But it was along the lines of $7,200 to $7,400. When I took that first job with a Fortune 500 company in a different state, we got a huge raise up to $10,000 a year.
And we spent it all. I was like, yoo-hoo, now we can.
We won the lottery. Before a lottery, yeah.
But, you know, not contributing to your retirement fund when you get a raise, like we did, can be a major issue because if your retirement savings can grow for a longer period, you're going to have more when you get ready to retire. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly get a loan for things, but you can't get a loan for retirement.
That's my favorite phrase. You can't get a loan for retirement. There's all kinds of things that you can get a loan for, but retirement isn't one of them. But let's go back to this discussion we're having here on the first amount of money that you put aside. Because if you don't ever increase that, you're never, and I think I can probably say almost guarantee that you're never going to have enough money to retire on. Because, like I said, the first amount of money that we saved was $25 a month. And if over 40 years we only saved $25 a month, I didn't do the math beforehand, so I can't tell you exactly, but it's probably only going to be about less than $200,000.
So basically, your retirement savings needs to increase as your salary increases.
Yes.
So
yes.
Those two need to be on par.
So every time you get a raise, you need to increase the same amount as your increase. In fact, if you get a 4% raise, for example, you should increase your savings for retirement by 4%. Here's another trick that you should use, and that is don't think about your savings for retirement in the terms of dollars and cents. Think about it in the terms of a percentage. What is the percentage of your gross annual income that you're saving? You know, you can calculate that. Go back to last year, figure out what you put in your retirement account, and divide that by your total gross income. The number's not going to be very big, I'm afraid, in most cases. But let's just say it was 5% or 6%, okay? Set yourself a goal to increase by 1% every 6 months. And then stick to it. If you're just thinking about dollars and cents, it's too easy to short yourself. Oh, I'm giving $25. This month I'll give $28 or I'll give $30. Well, that's not much of an increase. You got to think in the long term. So if you're saving from a 401k plan, it's easy to set up those percentages, okay? Because your employer is actually taking it out, and they probably want you to designate a percentage rather than an amount. Keep that percentage there and keep increasing it all the time.
And it's really important to figure out or know if you have an employer match what that is and maximize it. If your employer matches 6% of what your salary is in a savings account, then you should max out your savings to 6% so that you can get the entire fund that they'll match.
Well, yeah, that's free money. That's free money. And who doesn't want free money? I mean, we spend lots and lots of money on the lottery to win free money.
Wait. Not, let's clarify that. Not we.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Americans.
Yes, that's better.
Yeah. You see my eyes perk up. And you know, the nice thing about a 401k is at least the company that I work for, they pay the administration cost.
You know, I think one of the big mistakes people make, and this is not only to do with retirement, but with a lot of things, is they think they're going to get to some perfect situation in the future where they'll be able to do something. So they may think that they can defer their retirement savings until they get all their debt paid off. But that doesn't usually happen because you never reach that perfect point in time when it's time to save.
It's never going to get easier.
Yeah, okay? So you really need to start saving as soon as you can.
Yeah, you know, if you think that you're going to save for the kids' college education and then start your retirement, that's not going to happen. If you think that you can save for a house and then start your retirement, that's probably not going to happen. And if it does, it's going to just delay it by a huge number of years.
Your retirement savings.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The idea that, well, I'll just pay this off first. If that's your attitude, your retirement savings is never going to be sufficient, because you need time on your side to save for retirement. If you don't start saving until you're 50 years old or 45 years old, you're going to have to save huge sums of money, and you're probably not going to be able to do it.
So that just delays your retirement, or means you're going to have to work in your retirement.
And we worked with a couple exactly that. They were in their mid-50s, zero saved for retirement. And they both said, we're going to be working till we're 70, 75 years old.
Yeah.
We worked with a couple that the gentleman is 80 years old, and he's still working full time because they really don't have control of where their money is going, and they're using it unwisely. So he needs to continue working to subsidize their lifestyle. That's because sad. They're not willing to straighten out and
their lifestyle is upper middle income.
Yeah.
Middle income.
Yes.
Yeah, people listening thinking that will never happen to me, but you watch how fast that time comes up on you.
The retirement.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like running into a brick wall.
Oh yeah.
You know, and if you haven't saved enough money for retirement, where's that money gonna come from? The Easter Bunny? From Santa Claus? These are all pipe dreams, and if you're spending money on the lottery hoping to win big, you might as well burn that $5 or $10 every week that you're spending, because the odds are terrible. In fact, they're worse than terrible.
Well, and the thing is, if you're not managing your, let's say, $70,000 a year income now, what makes you think you're going to manage $1 million winning if you should ever win the lottery?
Yeah.
So it's not how much you have, it's how well you're managing what you have.
And that's really harsh, Evelyn, to tell people, hey, even if you win, you're not going to be able to manage it. But guess what? Look at the people who've won already and look at their history. They were in your shoes before they won. And look at them now. They're in worse shape.
Most of them. You're right.
Yeah. The other thing, another thing that people do is they spend money on depreciating assets. A four-letter word for that is cars. They're spending big money on cars. The average car loan is over $500 per month, and it lasts for 68 months.
68 months?
Yeah, that's the average car loan
today.
Wow. You got to do something different. And you got to start planning now. You got to start saving for retirement now. Take time and think and plan is the best way to avoid the mistakes. It's not glamorous and it may not be fun, but steady plodding keeps you on track. That's from Proverbs 21:5.
If you're serious about getting out of debt, I've got a book that I would love for you to read. The book is called Your Money Counts. It's co-written by John and Evelyn Bean. Here's the best part. It's absolutely free. You can read it in a day or two. The book is going to give you an idea of what the Bible is telling us are the best ways to handle money. Actually, I should say the Bible is telling us the only ways that we should be handling money. You'll read about spending, savings, getting out of debt, investing, giving, and several other money management concepts. And yes, all of these topics are right there in the Bible. Read the book and all of a sudden you'll start seeing quotes and parts of scripture. You're going to say, oh, I remember hearing about that during Mass. Again, the book is called Your Money Counts. You can download it absolutely free today. Go to compasscatholic.org, click on bookstore, and start downloading. Now, before we get out of here today, let's answer a question from one of our listeners. John and Evelyn, does the Bible say anything about when, like what age, a person should retire?
Well, the only reference in the Bible is in the book of Numbers, and it's talking about the Levites who worked in the tabernacle were supposed to retire at the age of 50. But in the rest of the Bible, there's really not one single reference to retiring.
So that means as we get older, we're not supposed to quit working. We're just supposed to change our focus of work and maybe move into some different type of work, like full-time volunteer efforts or helping out our families or something, so that we're still making good use of our time and talents.
Yeah, there was a popular book that was written, and I can't remember the author now, but it was entitled Don't Retire, Rewire. And I think that pretty well explains what you should be doing. As much as many of us would like to go sit at the city gates, you know, and with the elders and pontificate, I think if you work for the Lord, you would be much serve God much better.
As always, John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you're facing one or two financial challenges in your life and you would love John and Evelyn's help, by all means, send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Thanks so much for listening, and also want to remind you that we do publish a brand new podcast each and every week on Wednesday. So simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on podcast, and you can download. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.